A reading from 1 Corinthians. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the disconcerting I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are they called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that they are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Great to have all you scouts here. I was proud to get as far as first class, and then I got scared when they told me I had to sit in the woods for a whole night and not talk for a whole night to get my Order of the Arrow, and I thought, oh, not for me. But I'm so proud of you guys for working at this and continuing the journey. So today we continue with the series we're doing for the season of Epiphany, the season of light, called Adulting in Christ, How the Church Grew Up. And today the focus is on Paul's message as he talks to that church in Corinth about true wisdom. True wisdom. So here's Ole and Sven, a couple Norwegian guys. They decided to fulfill their bucket list with every bucket they'd ever wanted. How do you like that? There's not too many Norwegians in the crowd, I can tell. Well, let me try this one then. There's a story about Ole and Sven who... Sven was driving his pickup truck along the road next to Ole's cornfield, and he looks over there, and in the cornfield is Ole sitting in a boat with a fishing pole in the middle of the cornfield. So Sven pulls over and goes out and gets out and goes, Ole, what on earth are you doing out there? And he says, Ole says, be quiet, I'm fishing. And Sven says, Ole, you're the kind of guy that gives us the Norwegians a bad name. Now, if I could swim, I'd come out there and pull you in myself. Well, according to... There, thanks. I'm glad you got that one. According to Paul, the wisdom of the Greek philosophers, who even had temples, a temple to the goddess of wisdom, Athena, in the city of Corinth, among other gods, he says, according to him, those Greek philosophers and the Jewish wisdom that kept them looking for the Messiah, for signs of the Messiah who was going to liberate them. And even though none of the signs that Jesus showed them worked for them, they just didn't get it from Jesus when he did come, he says that those Greeks and Jews were equally as foolish as Ole and Sven were. And as you can see, here's the temple. This is the temple in Capernaum, the Jewish temple in Capernaum, where Jesus had his headquarters, you know. In ruins, not much different from the ruins of those temples to the gods and goddesses in Corinth. Just like in ruins are all the brilliant philosophies or thought systems we set up for ourselves as the best of our human wisdom. So Paul uses a couple terms here in this passage of 1 Corinthians. He talks about Sophia tou Theou. This is Greek. The wisdom of God is what it means. Versus the Sophia du Cosmos, the wisdom of the world. And Then he uses this word, Maria, a whole lot here, foolishness it means. Well, there were many belief systems and philosophies where, as Paul was preaching and teaching with the church in Corinth back in those days in about A.D. 40 or 42 or whatever it was when he was there. Some of them were like, here's was one of them, Stoicism. Have you heard that term, the Stoicism? That's the kind of philosophy where, like, you know, life is tough, but you just grit your teeth and you get through the best you can. Doesn't that make you happy? That philosophy? Or try this one. Epicureanism. That's life is short, so go for the gusto, right? And pig out on all that food out here as much as you can out in the Super Bowl of caring, and then go home during the Super Bowl and pig out again until you have, heartburn, or something like that. Well, or there's rationalism today, right? You can arrive at true wisdom by reasoning things out. How well does it work in your household? There is this school of thought, nihilism. Nothing is really true. Nothing really matters. So go live your miserable, meaningless life with no purpose at all, right? That's nihilism. How's that for making you happy? Well, for Paul, again, the wisdom of Olean Spen, the wisdom of the Greek philosophers, and even the Jewish wisdom were all foolish. Foolish. He reminds the Corinthians and us that the foolishness of all worldly wisdom is made quite apparent when you look at the foolishness of God here. Christ on the cross, the Jewish Messiah, the true Messiah, executed on a cross. A scandal to the Jews, Paul says, and it's ridiculous to the Greeks who are steeped in their superior philosophies. But Paul tells us to the kletos, and that's the Greek word for those who are called. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, remember? To the called ones, called to be disciples of Jesus Christ in the power of God on the cross. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That image here which to common sense, a man on the cross looks like helplessness. It looks like weakness, doesn't it? It looks like failure. But it's in very fact the very power of God at work, reconciling, redeeming, and restoring a broken, sinful world and a broken, confused, misguided bunch of sinners like you and me, helpless to save ourselves from our own stuff. Yes, the message on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction, Paul says, going our own way without God, but to those who are on the way of salvation, God's way, the foolish way, the cross of Christ, it actually makes perfect sense. God's way of putting things right, taking all of our empty, fruitless chasing after our tails, so to speak, nails it all to the cross to liberate us, to set us free. So that just as Christ was crucified and raised from the dead by the power of God, so we too might walk in newness of life, Paul says. A fresh start, trusting not in ourselves, but trusting in the foolish wisdom of God this foolishness of God is wiser than any human wisdom. This God takes it all upon himself to give us a fresh start. So here we are, the called ones in Christ Jesus, already living in God's fresh start, the death and resurrection of our Lord. That's what makes sense of existence for us. And it's the heart of what we're called to proclaim. And by the way, it shows up in our new mission and vision as a congregation. Our vision that was approved last week at the annual meeting, just repeat it after me, that all have life in Christ. Right, that's our ultimate vision for the world around us. And then our particular mission, repeat this after me, we seek and welcome all.
We seek and welcome
to connect, to celebrate, and to serve in God's love. There you go. You'll be hearing more about that this coming year and in the years to come as we try to flesh that out. And at this weekend's leadership retreat, all day yesterday, it was just amazing to see the incredible energy and enthusiasm and creativity that was coming out of the people gathered as they tried to discern how do we put flesh on this new mission this coming year with some experiments that we want to consider in how we proclaim the foolishness of Christ crucified to the people around us who are lost themselves. So, however, you know, we can still get caught up in our own foolish ways, and especially with our current political climate, it's easy to fall back into forgetting God's wisdom and think it's all about our wisdom again. And yes, even in the church which proclaims Christ crucified, even inside the church, we get to arguing about our differences sometimes. We break into factions, how things should be done, who's right, who's wrong, right? Finding fault with each other, who belongs and who doesn't belong, and all the rest, just as it was happening back there in that church in Corinth in the first century that Paul was talking to. And you know what? The devil just loves it when we get off track like that. But then we come back to this communion rail here, and we're reminded of the wisdom and the power of God that hangs on a cross. That foolishness that is God's very wisdom. And we kneel humbly here, recognizing, you know, we have to admit we don't have all the answers, do we? Not for the world that's in crisis around us. We don't have all the answers. I don't even have all the answers for my own family, for heaven's sakes, half the time, right? But we kneel here, and we get reconciled again and again, not only to Christ when we've gotten off track and thinking our own ways again, but also to one another at the table, our brothers and sisters, who are called to be here. Because there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And our next slide. Yeah, there you go. That's who we really are, and that's our true identity. As foolish as that may seem to the world, that's us. And in this wisdom of God, we keep getting to grow up. Grow up. And then when we're growing together in the wisdom and power of God on the cross, Pentecost-like energy just breaks out like it did yesterday. It was just so exciting to be here, just breaking loose all the possibility and excitement for ways that we're going to experiment with how do we get this message out to our community around here and to the world around us, proclaiming Christ crucified and risen, so that other people can have a chance at this new life that we have been privileged to get in on, huh? And this is how we grow up. This is how the church grew up in Corinth, and this is how the church still grows up.